We continue today with the sermon series of questions that members of the congregation asked us to preach on, and today's topic is angels. So I'll be reading from Psalm 8 and also from Hebrews chapter 13. But before I do that, I just want to say I see Rod and Bev Edwards sitting in the back there. It's so good to see you from visiting from Arizona for a few weeks here, so welcome back to WPC. Yeah. You join with me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people. In the name of Jesus Christ we ask. Amen. Hear then the joyful words from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The one verse, verse 5, you have made them a little lower than God, in some translations reads, yet you have made us a little lower than the angels. In Hebrews chapter 13, the first two verses, I just want to give a little bit of a setting for that, because that is a reference back to, it will be a reference back to the Old Testament in Genesis, where Abraham and Sarah were given up pretty much on ever having children. And one day, as Abraham is sitting there by the door of the tent, some visitors come and tell them that they have good news, that they will have a child, and indeed that does come to pass. So in verses 1 through 2 in Hebrews, Paul writes, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Been a busy week. I left after church on Sunday last week to drive to Iowa, where I attended the University of Iowa Writer's Workshop. Took a class on writing memoir and worked on my book of my journey with post-traumatic stress disorder. I arrived home late Friday night, just in time to see Greg before he got up early to leave for the mission trip with the youth group. So now it's my turn to hold down the fort at church while handling the home front, which is fine. But then I had this sermon to write about angels. And being that I felt a little burnt out from the past week, I decided maybe it was time to put in a call to someone who could help. So I got out my cell phone and I dialed up Gabriel, you know, the archangel, head honcho of the heavenly host. The angel that told Mary she was having a baby, yes, that Gabriel. My call went something like this. Hello, Gabriel? It's me, Kathy. Oh, that's right, you knew. I keep forgetting you angels had caller ID long before we figured it out. Anyway, I have this problem, and I wonder if you could help. I need to write a sermon on angels, and, well, you being an angel and all, I wondered if you could... You will? Great. I need about 3 single-spaced pages for a 15-minute sermon. Thanks, Gabe. You're a peach. What's that? Yes, I know. You want me to call sometime just for chat. I will, I promise. Maybe after summer vacation, before things start getting really busy for both of us. How does that sound? Okay. You too. Hey, give my best to the boss. Catch you on the flip side. Later, dude. Now, wasn't that easy? Well, what would the world be like if angels were always ready to do our bidding? What if we could order angels around and make them do what we want when we want it? Well, it would be pretty disastrous, that's what. But sometimes we act as if angels are supposed to be at our beck and call. Watch out for my child. Answer my prayers. Take care of my mom in heaven. Those are all heartfelt requests that we ask of the angels. And there are angels out there in the universe, although we really don't know much about who they are and how they work. The media has so bombarded us with its own depictions of these heavenly beings that the truth has kind of gotten lost in all the shuffle. Angels are used to sell everything from cars to women's lingerie. Angels have entire stores and catalogs devoted to their merchandise. Angels are the subjects of TV shows and numerous books with advice on how to tap into your angel power and use angels for your own personal gain. Angels have been depicted in every which way in the movies, too, from the bumbling and wonderfully named Clarence Oddbody in the classic It's a Wonderful Life, to those baseball-playing winged wonders in Angels in the Outfield. Maybe the Cubs ought to be calling on a few angels. To the barefoot, burping behemoth played by John Travolta in Michael. To the all-too-human Dudley, who falls in love with the preacher's wife in the movie of the same name. You know, it's no wonder we're confused about angels. We're so deeply influenced by what everyone tells us to believe about angels, but maybe it's time to go right to the source and see what the Bible says about them. There are about 108 references to angels in the Old Testament and 165 in the New, so we have plenty of information about angels. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. So the angels are created by God, not Oprah. In the book of Nehemiah, did you know there was a book of Nehemiah? I had to look up the page number in my Bible. It's just a couple books before the Psalms. But in chapter 9, Ezra says to God, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, which is the angels." In Psalm 8, the writer asks God, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." So the angels came before we did. Well, I think most everything in creation came before we did. In the book of Job, God asked Job where he was when God created the heavens and the earth, and the morning stars sang together, and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy. Colossians states that all things were created through Christ, including everything in heaven and on earth. So angels are a separate order of creation. They are separate in that they are unlike any other created being. They even have their own hierarchy. The archangels, the cherubim, the seraphim, all of those are included in the heavenly host. I even hesitate to say this, but there's not a single Bible verse that says anything about people becoming angels when we die. This is one of the misconceptions that brings us comfort when someone we love dies. It sounds nice to say Grandpa is an angel now, but that has no basis in the Bible. When we are resurrected after death, we are given spiritual bodies, and we live in heaven with the angels, but we do not become them. Well, instead of being disappointed by this fact, think of how awesome it will be to have angels as your next-door neighbors. And you couldn't ask for a better arrangement than that. So we can say that Grandpa has gone to be with the angels, but Grandpa does not become one. Now, angels aren't always sweet, fluttery little cherubs plucking harps and singing lullabies. Angels can be terrifying. How about this one from the book of Revelation? John writes, "And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire, setting his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. He gave a great shout like a lion roaring, and when he shouted, the seven thunders sounded." Whoa. An angel like that could give you the shivers, if not a few nightmares. And sometimes the appearance of angels is frightening. Even the shepherds in the fields were terrified when the angel came to tell them about Christ's birth. A visit from an angel is not something to be taken lightly. Angels have a job to do, and it's very specific. The word angel comes from a Greek word that means messenger. And the word for angel in Hebrew means the same thing. Psalm 103 says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word." We need not fear the angels, for angels are God's messengers. They're not out to hurt us, but to bring God's good news. And much of the time, the angels preface that good news by saying, "Do not be afraid." "Do not be afraid," the angel said to Mary right before he let loose with the news that she was going to be the mother of God's only son. "Do not be afraid," the angel reassured Joseph in a dream when he was considering dropping his pregnant fiancée like a hot potato. "Do not be afraid," the angels quickly told the shepherds, quaking in their mud-soaked sandals. Angels aren't God's henchmen or a bunch of thugs looking for opportunities to bash us around when we stray from God, but I wouldn't want to mess with one, would you? It's much better to live the way we should rather than take a chance that an angel with legs like pillars of fire is going to show up on your doorstep one day. Now, angels aren't created to do our bidding. They don't float around waiting for us to snap our fingers and put them to work. We can't hand an angel our laundry list of longings, nor ask them to write our sermons. The angels have a job, and they have a boss, and it ain't us, for God is the one who is in charge. The angels answer to their Creator just like we are supposed to do. They may be better at it than we are, but that's no reason we can't try. Now, I hope I'm not ruining angels for you, because I love angels. If you've ever been in my office or home, You will know there are angels all around. We all like to hold on to our sentimental notions about angels, but why limit angels to what we want to believe about them? There's more to angels than we'll ever know on this earth. The thought of angels watching over us, answering our prayers, and hanging out with our loved ones in heaven is comforting. But we don't just need the angels to do these things, because we have Jesus. It is Jesus to whom we should turn when we need help and comfort and answers to prayers. And we have each other. For it is our calling as Christians to work side by side with the angels, bringing good news to people who really need to hear it. We can bring good news to the friend in the hospital bed who has just been given terrible news. We cannot change a doctor's diagnosis, but we can promise to sit by that person's side through the painful journey that lies ahead. We can bring the good news that you are not alone, for God is with you. The Bible does promise that. And I will be with you too. We bring good news to the child who has lost her beloved grandfather. That good news is not that Grandpa has become an angel, but that Grandpa now lives with the angels in a beautiful place where there is no more sorrow or pain or death. Jesus has prepared a room for her grandfather. The Bible does promise that. We bring good news into a world of terrible violence where it isn't even safe to go to the movies anymore. And the good news is that when such a tragedy occurs, people are standing in line to reach out and help and comfort and remember and remind us that there are still far more life givers in the world than there are life takers. We, like the angels, are called to bring good news. My favorite verse about angels is the one I read from the book of Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now imagine the kind of world it would be if we treated one another as if we were hosting the heavenly host. I dare say it's not bad advice to think that way. It can't do any harm. And who knows? It may just be truer than we'll ever know. Do you pray with me? Lord our God, you are the creator of all, the heaven and angels, the earth and all of life. And you ask us to be a team that, along with the angels, to share your good news, to tell people, do not be afraid, for God is with you. And in Jesus Christ, we see the truth of that. And so we turn to Jesus for comfort, encouragement, strength. We pray, O Lord, that we will all have the willingness to show hospitality and kindness. Because who knows? There are angels all around. These and the prayers of our hearts we offer in Christ's name. And let all God's people say, Amen.